Well, take your Bible this morning. Let's go to the Gospel of John, and we're going to be in chapter 14, and we will begin in verse 1 and read through verse number 6. I'm going to ask you this morning if you would rise as you stand with me. I'm going to read the first 5 verses, and when we get to verse 6, I would like everyone out loud to read those together with me, just that 6th verse. I'll set the context, we get to verse 6, and then we all together will read that 6th verse. John's Gospel, chapter 14, beginning in verse number 1. Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? You join me. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Most of us know that verse. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. The words from the lips of the Lord Jesus. We are looking this morning, next week, and the following week at verse number 6. This morning where Jesus said, I am the way. That is a belonging we're going to talk about. Next Sunday, Jesus is the truth. That is a believing that we're going to talk about. And Jesus said, I am the life. That is a behaving that we're going to talk about. A belonging today. A believing next Sunday. A behaving on that third Sunday. Let's read it one more time. Verse number 6 out loud all together. Jesus said to him, Lord, speak now unto us, I pray, that your word would be made clear and that we would understand the Jesus life. Thank you for being our way, for being the truth, and for being life. In Jesus' blessed name I pray. Amen. Thank you, and be seated, please. I am the way. Jesus said it. In the first century, in the New Testament, before they were first called Christians, before they talked about the church, these people that were following Jesus were known as the way. The way. In Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, when we find Saul breathing out his threats against the Christians, he says it was against these people of the way that he came against. When you read in Acts 19, in verse number 9, they spoke of disturbing the way. In verse number 23 of Acts chapter 19, you find that they were coming against the people of the way, the way, the way, the way. That's what we were known as. Then later they were called Christians, little Christs in Antioch, people that were on the way, were on the way with Jesus. And their life began to so reflect Christ, they were called Christians, Chris, little Christs. They were on the way with him, and we became known as Christians, followers of Jesus. But it all started with that phrase, the way. Now listen to me. If you're going to be a Christian, you must still be on the way. If you're getting ready to go somewhere, most often now, all of you that are going to use Right Now Media at least would probably whip out your phone, go to Google Maps, and say, this is where I am, and I am trying to go to this particular place. You plug it in, you hit a button, and it says, here are a couple of routes. Which one would you like? You hit on that, and it will take you there. Let's just say that you wanted to start in Faith, South Dakota, and go to the Heavenly Ski Resort in Lake Tahoe. Then you would put that in, and you'd find Faith. That's your beginning point in South Dakota, Faith, South Dakota. And then you'd see a couple of routes. It'd take you almost 20 hours if you went nonstop. If you had grandchildren, it'd take you 38 hours. If you just had children, probably 25, 26 hours. But you would start there, and you would be on the route until you arrived at the Heavenly Ski Resort. Dear friend, if you are a Christian, you started in faith, and you are now traveling on a journey on the way with Jesus Christ, and your destination is going to be heaven itself. That's where we're headed, from faith to heaven, and we follow the way. And this morning, I want us to think about the way. The way. Jesus, a belonging unto Him. Two simple things that I want you to see with me this morning. First of all, we're going to look at the moment that you step on the way. And then secondly, we're going to look at the momentum that you exhibit on the way. So let's look first of all at the moment that we step on the way. That's the beginning point. You come to faith in Jesus Christ. It is there you are converted, you are born again, you are redeemed, and you enter into what Jesus called a narrow gate that goes down this straight road, and you're going to follow Him. There must be a time you become a Christian when you enter the gate. The first words the disciples of Jesus heard in Matthew 9:9 were the words, "Follow Me." The first word Jesus said to Peter in Matthew 4:9, "Follow Me." And the last word that Peter heard from Jesus in John 21:22, "Follow Me." Follow Me. Follow Me. Follow Me. To all of us, Jesus said it this way in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 34. And He summoned the crowd with His disciples, and He said to them, if, He's got all the disciples, but He's got the crowd there with Him, and He says, if any one of you, if anyone here wishes to come after Me, if you want to come after Me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and do what? Follow Me. You want to come after Me, Jesus said? There are all kinds of people. The 12 are there. Peter's there. James and John, Bartholomew, they're there. And the 12 are there. And Jesus looks at the crowd. He said, if anybody here, in this whole group, if you're here, if you want to come, like these came after Me, if you want to come, deny yourself. Take up the cross and follow Me. Has there been a time when you denied yourself, took up your cross to follow Jesus? That is where faith begins. It's not just some card you fill out. I'm telling you, the bane of the local church, the bane of Christianity today is the unregenerate membership of local churches. We have scores of people on our rolls that have never come to the place of conversion. They've never understood coming after Jesus, denying themselves, taking up the cross, believing, and coming after Christ. Jesus said another way in John's Gospel, chapter 5 and verse number 24. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears My word, you hear this word, you hear the gospel, that God so loved the world that He gave His Son. If you hear My word and you believe Him who sent Me, if you really believe the Father, He has eternal life, and He does not come. You're not going into judgment, but He is, look at this, He has passed out of death into life. Dear friend, that's a conversion experience in your life. That is the moment you come to Christ. It is the moment that You step on the path. You begin the way. You begin the journey. Now, everybody in this room, everyone watching online, listening radio, watch television, our people at the Warrington campus are listening there this morning, and everybody there in that campus and on this campus. As I said on the internet, everyone on the sound of my voice, you know right now if you ever got on the way, if you ever really started. I didn't ask you if you joined the church. I didn't ask you if you got religion. I had religion once, made me sick. I tried to get rid of it. I didn't even ask you if you've been baptized. I asked you if you ever trusted Christ, believed Him, and you have passed out of your spiritual death into eternal life. Can you tell me right there is where I was converted? That I know Him. He's the way. I'm following Him. If anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross, come and follow me. To follow me. It is the moment you step on the way. Charles Wesley, we already did one of his songs today. The title of this message comes out of one of Charles Wesley's songs. I have decided to follow Jesus. It's 305 in your hymnal. It's stuck there in front of you. You don't have to look at it. But Wesley said, though none go with me, I still will follow. Stanza 3, my cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. Stanza number 4, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Why? I'm on the way. I'm following the Christ. Are you on the way today? You're on the way somewhere. You're either on the way to hell or heaven. Where are you headed? Have you ever come to the place, the moment? Dear friend, if you've never entered the gate to walk the way, in just a minute, John's going to come sing a song. I'm going to stand right here, and I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat where you are. In that balcony around this ground floor, I'm going to ask you down at Warrington to go and talk to Pastor Mike, Pastor John. I want you to talk with them. I want you to visit with them. Some of you go out to the Next Step tables. They'd be a little hard to find here this morning because of everything that's out there, but you can go there. You can come here. You say, Pastor, today's the day. I'm going to draw the line, and I'm stepping around, and I'm saying, Lord, I'm trusting you. I know you love me. I know I need you. I'm ready to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is my moment, this very day. I'm ready today. Many of you would say, well, Pastor, I've done good. Then this is just a reaffirmation that you've had a moment where you got on the journey and you're walking in the way. So when we sing in a minute, get ready. Come. You say, well, Pastor, I'm going to encourage you again at the end of this sermon, just a moment. Get up out of your seat and come here and say, today's my day. As my pastor up on the mountain used to say, come put your hand in my hand. Give me your hand. Give God your heart. That's what I want you to do this very day. The moment that you start on the way. But now, secondly, I want you to look at the momentum. You see, that's not the end. It's just the beginning. You begin a journey, and you start. If you were going to drive from Pensacola to Jacksonville, it is in the World Book Encyclopedia, Pensacola to Jacksonville, the most boring drive in America. Can I get a witness? The only thing there is 3 blips in Tallahassee, and if they didn't have the busy bee over there in Live Oak, we'd all die before we got there. But you're on the journey. You're on the journey. You're headed there. You're to Crestview. Amen. Defuniac. Graceful. Boy, we all need to stop at Graceful every now and then. I don't mean the town. I mean we really need God's grace. You're on the journey. and you travel. The momentum. That's following after Jesus. That's the walk after Him. Jesus said, if you want to come and follow me, that is, if you want to share the road with Jesus. Amen. Everywhere you go, you ought to be walking with Jesus. He's the way, so we're walking with Him. How do we walk? All through Scripture, we are told how to walk. In John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse number 12, we are told to walk in light. Don't walk in darkness, Jesus said, but walk in the light. That's the light of His revelation. That's why I give you that Right Now media card, so that you can get in the Word of God. Read the Word. Some of you use your own line stuff, however you do it, but don't walk in darkness. Walk in light. Micah 6:8 tells us how to walk. He tells us what's good, to do justice, love kindness, but we're to walk how? Walk humbly. Friend, if you're going to walk with Jesus on this road, there's no place to swagger and there's no place to strut. I'm here to tell you, you walk in humility. You walk lowly. That's the way Jesus walked, in meekness. He didn't go around with His chest stuck out saying, well, look at me. No, you walk in light. Then you walk in humility. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 4 says you walk in newness of life. You don't walk in the way you used to walk. You walk in newness of life. There's an old way to go. That's of the devil. I am amazed what church members write on social media. I'm talking about vile, wicked words. Telling people to go to Hades. I'm amazed. And I wonder, do they even know Jesus? My Lord, help us. You're not to walk in the oldness of life. You're to walk in newness of life. Jesus has changed. Did you see the guy? It is such a phenomenal story. Last year, with all of the mess that went on racially in Charlottesville, there was one of the guys who was dressed up with the Klan. He got saved this year, and God changed his life, and now he is reaching out to people of color and saying, I was wrong, and God, he's not walking in oldness. He's walking in newness of life. Glory to God, that's what Jesus does. When you get on the journey, you walk in light, you walk in humility, you walk in newness of life. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says that you walk not by sight, but you walk by faith. You believe it is so when it's not so, in order it can be so. That's faith. You hear what God said and you count as if it is already done. Even when you can't see it, you don't walk by sight, you walk by faith. God said it's going to be done. That's what that song was saying. We were talking about, I am a child of God. It's what you need to read the Word of God just to figure out what God says about you. And then begin to act what God says you are. He puts His power within us, and we walk not by sight, but we walk by faith. Then four verses out of Ephesians. Ephesians is the walking epistle. It's just all through there. There are words of telling us how to walk. I just picked out four of them this morning. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, walk in good works. You don't need to walk in what you can do. You walk in good works. You walk the way God wants you to walk, doing good things for other people. Ephesians 4:1, walk worthy. Walk worthy of the calling. I implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you've been called. You've been called to come to Jesus. Walk worthy. Walk worthy. Then Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. Walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us. An offering, a sacrifice to God is a fragrant aroma. Why, anybody can walk in meanness and hate. Jesus walked in love. Jesus never met anybody he didn't love. You ever have confrontation, ever had disagreement? Certainly did, but He always spoke truth in love. Let me tell you, friend, you know, we can have all kinds of things going on in here. We try to do it right. Matter of fact, we've got a real lighting problem in our church right now, okay? We're going to fix that this Christmas. I'm going to ask you to help me to do it. It's coming to you in September, and I'm going to ask you to give a special offering so we can. It's a big problem, and we could come in here one day and just all the lights be gone out. I thought we had come to it today when we brought the lights down for that video. They like to never come back up a while ago. I was here wondering. I didn't know if it was just my first day back. You didn't want to look at me. I couldn't figure out what it was. It's just the lighting boards there. You know, listen to me. This church doesn't run on graphics or lighting boards or microphones. You get everybody in here to love one another like they ought to. We can meet in a barn down a dirt road, and I'm here to tell you God had lighted up. It's the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, heart to heart. That's what this world is longing for, is somebody to love me in my unloveliness. Amen. Walk like Jesus walked. He walked in love. Ephesians 5 verse 15 says not only to walk in love, but then you walk in wisdom. Therefore, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise. There some places you shouldn't be going. And the Spirit of God will raise up in your heart and say, you don't belong there. He'll say, no. The other place you say, I don't want to go there. And God will say, that's exactly where you're supposed to go. It's the wisdom of God. His Spirit bears witness to your spirit. And you know exactly where you ought to be going. But I believe the greatest verse about walking is found in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1. Where Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us the instruction of how you ought to walk and please God just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more. How should we walk? We ought to walk to please God. You don't walk to please me. You don't walk to please your spouse or your kids. You don't walk to please the church. You walk to please God Himself. And if God says, amen. I don't do it as much now as I used to, but I still do it some. I have a little altar at my house. And oftentimes I'll go kneel there and I preach my sermon on that altar. I just preach it to the Lord. Just rehearsing, going over what I got in my heart and just preaching. I don't do that so much now. Now I walk across from my little pond over and I have a swing. It's on the other side and I just kind of sit there and I'll just swing and preach. Sometimes I'll hit a point and I say, well, you know, sister so-and-so ain't going to like that. And you know I had that conversation and they're going to think I'm picking on them. Just swinging, preaching. Now every then I'll have the Spirit of God say, you probably ought not say that. Just mark that out. But I want to tell you, church, when I'm preaching that on my altar and the Holy Ghost says amen, I really don't care what you think. I really don't. I love you. I care for you. But I'm telling you, if the Spirit of God bears witness to my spirit and says, whatever you do, don't shy away from that. When He says amen, I've got a choice. But really, I don't have a choice. See, my job is like your job. My job's to please Him. Your job's to please Him. Amen. And when you please Him, you'll walk in accordance to this book. The Word of God will speak to you. Now, there are times we have differences and different disagreements about what it means. But I'm here to tell you, we are to walk to please the Father. That's the momentum. You're just walking in the way with Jesus. That little pond I've got my grandkids in Sunday school right now. Both went to new classes today. I've never seen little Catherine so excited. She got to go upstairs to Sunday school today. I mean, she thought that heaven had come. No longer down here with these snotty-nosed little preschoolers. You get to go upstairs. So every now and then I get one by one finger and one of the other and we'll take a walk around the pond. Everywhere I go, they go. Because they are walking with me. I'm not walking with them. They walk with me. Every now and then they'll cut loose and want to run. I say, let's stop. Urgh. me tell you, friend, when you're walking with Jesus, the way, when he says stop, you stop. He says go, you go. He says kneel down, you kneel. And he says shout, you shout. And he says shut up, you shut up. We walk to please the one we're walking with. And all the great joy that comes in obedience unto the Lord. In 1910, Theodore Roosevelt was in his first year post-presidency. Of all the presidents, he is in my top five that I like to follow after. Read a book on my, hadn't quite finished it, on Lincoln and Churchill. I love to read after Theodore Roosevelt. While he was on a game hunt in Europe, he's a wonderful sportsman, boxer, man's man. Roosevelt was invited to a university in France to give a speech, and the title of the speech was Citizenship in a Republic. And out of all that was said in that, there is one little short paragraph that has really become historical. It's called The Man in the Arena. I read it from time to time, and that's who we are as Christians. We are men and women in the arena. We're on the path. See, some of you say you're Christians, but you're not on the road. You're off down some other street. You're not following Jesus. You're down a road. I'm here to tell you, you just may not know him. Because if you know him, you follow him. You walk with him. He says this street, that's the way we go. You're in it. And Roosevelt said, it is not the critic who counts. Oh, don't you wish it was? We'd all be heroes then. It's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds? Who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. Those are the people that are neither hot nor cold, just lukewarm, and they just won't get in the arena. It's time for some of us on Reconnect Sunday to get off the side road and back on the main highway with King Jesus. Amen. And the way he says go, we're going to go. If he says that means going into the baptistry to be baptized, we're going to do it. Let me tell you, if I were sitting in your seat, I would stay for the first part of the 11 o'clock service. We're going to baptize a gentleman we've been trying to share the gospel with for 2 years. He's a Buddhist. He came to us 3 weeks ago and he said, I'm ready. He had come to the place of seeing Jesus as one of many. Now he finally came and said, exclusive. He is the Christ. Going to baptize. He and his daughter going to be baptized at 11 o'clock if all goes well and if the plans stay where they are. He's getting to the moment with the momentum and he's taking his first step on the highway. Listen. We dare not baptize that man stepping out on the highway and let him walk in here and watch some of you go down side streets, or he'll mess up himself. The way he learns is when we're in the arena, when we're on the highway, and he says, well, they're doing it right. and he learns. That's the way we all learn. Walking life's road from Faith, South Dakota to Heavenly Resort, Tahoe. There's crooks and bends and mountains and valleys and stops. But we stay on the road. Stay on the road. Stay on the road. As you walk, Jesus whispers, "Follow me." He whispers, "Follow me," when the server, a working student, messes up your lunch order. He whispers, "Follow me," when the telemarketer, a struggling to make a living human being from a third world country, calls you at the most inopportune time. Jesus urges, "Follow me," when we fail to receive credit for a good idea or a job we think we've done well. Jesus prods us, "Follow me," as on our way to something important to us, we consider bypassing the struggling stranger who has a flat tire. Jesus implores us, "Follow me," when we hear his footsteps ahead, but his figure is faint, and when relatives and well-intentioned friends move to nudge us off course from the path that Jesus is leading us on. Jesus challenges every one of us, "Follow me," as he provides less money in our bank account than we would have preferred or felt secure having if we didn't follow him. He whispers, "Follow me," when we are wrong or we've wronged another and are afraid to take ownership of the mistake because admitting it will waylay our pride and self-perceive good intentions. He says, "Follow me because I am the way." In every circumstance of your life, I'm the way. Follow me, I'm the way. And I'll take you. Today, August 12, isn't that right? 1973, it's the day. Chuck Colson, August 12. He was Nixon's hatchet man. He'd been a part of Watergate, found guilty, prison. He was out, and Tom Phillips, multi-million dollar executive, friend of Colson, invited him to his house. They sat in the living room. As they sat in the living room, Mr. Phillips opened up Mere Christianity and shared the gospel with Chuck Colson and said, "You need to understand God loves you, Chuck. You've been in the most powerful seat in the world and you went from there to prison. You went from a hero to a zero. And God loved you when you was a hero and he even loves you when you're a zero. Jesus died for you, Chuck. If you'll call out to his name, he'll save you." And Chuck Colson said these words as he wrote in his biography, Born Again. He said, no, I cannot do it. I will not have what he called foxhole religion. That is, I won't believe while I'm in trouble. I got to work my way out of some of this trouble. Then I'll believe." And Colson left the living room of Tom Phillips' house and went and got in his car. On this day, August 12, 1973, Colson backed out and he said he went down the street, but he couldn't go far because tears flooded his eyes. He said, I was sobbing to the place I couldn't even see the road for the tears. And Colson said, I pulled over, stopped the car. And he said, I don't know why, but I looked up. He said, that's just where God is, I guess. And he said, Lord, I'm not much, but if you'll have me, take me. Take me. That was his prayer. That was his confession. Lord, I'm not much. Take me. And that very moment, he was converted. God saved him. And he started down the road. Oh, the papers ate him alive. When he went public with his faith. Oh, yeah, everybody gets jailhouse religion. I can always remember a cartoon I saw. I was just a young preacher when this happened. It was a cartoon, and the guy had a big, fat behind and had Colson holding a sign saying, "Repent, the end is near," making fun of him. But Chuck kept walking. Colson kept walking. He kept walking. He decided to start a ministry, and he did, and he called it Prison Fellowship. He started going into prisons and sharing the good news. And it grew from 1 to 2 to 20 to region-wide, to nationwide, to worldwide. It all started in a moment. And Jesus said, "Chuck, come follow me." Colts had never been to prison. He wasn't a jailhouse minister. He didn't go there, but he spent his time there, and he knew what those people thought. And God took him as he walked down the road. What a mighty preacher. God raised up a lawyer, a crook, a crooked lawyer, a lost, unregenerate lawyer, and gloriously saved him and put him on the road. And Chuck Colson said with the Apostle Paul, when he came to die, "I fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith." Finished the course. He stayed on the way. I see these people all the time. They get medals for being in a marathon. Some of them run what they call a Mickey Mouse marathon. I've never understood that made sense. A Mickey Mouse marathon. I thought if it's Mickey Mouse, it wasn't something very much. But they do it at Disney. And you get a medal. You don't get a medal because you win. You get a medal because you finish. Nobody gets a medal for finishing a 100-yard dash. Everybody in here could do that. Even if you're on a walker, after a while, you could make 100 yards. Take you a while, but you'd get there. You see, friend, this thing called Christianity is not a dash. It's a marathon with momentum. And the Spirit of God energizes you just not to begin, but to continue. And every now and then, we need a reconnect. We need a restart. We've done a side road. We need to go again. While I was away, we spent a week in Dallas. I'd never been to Dr. Criswell's gravesite, so I wanted to go. And I went out to the Sparkman Hillcrest Crematorium and Mortuary. I've been to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of funerals. I never been to a place like this. There was a lady playing a harp in the vestibule of a funeral home, live. 8 men all in black suits, black ties. I thought they were going to come out and hit me with them little flashy deals for Men in Black, that old movie. They took me to the mausoleum. I went and saw Dr. Criswell's drawer where they'd put him in there. Guy said, "You might want to look around the corner." And I did. I went around the corner. Mickey Mantle was buried there, and his two boys buried with him. And I thought about it. Dr. Criswell preached the gospel since he was just a kid till he's in his 90s. Mickey Mantle been mean as hell till the end of his life and got gloriously saved. Bobby Richardson called him to repentance, and he got on the road. I took a picture of Mantle's grave. I got on my phone right there. He and his boys buried, stacked right under him in that mortuary, mausoleum. So I got in the car and I told Liz, I said, let's go by the old church. 28 years ago, this coming October, I became your pastor, and I was pastoring the Orchard Hills Baptist Church. I said, let's go by Orchard Hills. It had died about 10 years ago, just got down to a little handful of nothing. But they sold the church. They sold it to the Ethiopian Evangelical Baptist Church. I walked in there and there was nothing but Ethiopians everywhere you could look. And there were 400 little black boys and girls going to Vacation Bible School. They took us all through there. I went to rooms where I'd prayed and buildings I'd built and offices. And it was alive. Alive. What happened? Well, the old church had gotten off the road. Died. Had bad leadership. Some things had happened. But they sold it to... That's the pastor's name. I wrote him a letter this week and sent him $250 from our church. Just a little something. Just use this however you want to from Olive Baptist. Just know you're in some things. We just want you to know we're here, and if he talks to me nice, we may help him some more. But I thought, dear God, what reconnect? They're on the road. So we went out, and as we walked out in that 100-degree heat, I took Liz by the hand. We walked to the car, and I opened the door and let her get in, and I went around. And when we both sat down, I looked at her, and she looked at me, and we had tears coming down our face. Because where we had put part of our life had died. It grieved me. But I saw these brothers and sisters on the road. I said, Lord, that's my crowd. Ethiopians, Egyptians, Pensacolians, Alabamians, Floridians, on the road. I was thrilled. Some of you today are like old Orchard Hills Church. You've kind of died on the vine. You need to repent and get back on the road. For I am the way. You can belong there. Some of you at Warrington today, I want you to go to the back and talk to Pastor Mike and Pastor John. I want you to give your heart and life to Christ. I want some families to join the church down there today. Let us know you did it. Then when you come back here tonight for the International Food Night, you'll hear the Lord's Prayer in over 8 languages up here tonight. 8, 10, I forget how many they got. Then we're going to go over to Rock and eat. It's not dinner. It's just tasting. All right? You don't get a full course meal of 14 different nationalities. Some of you have to repent about that, but you're in this room. You say, preacher, I'm not sure. Then come. You say, I'd be embarrassed. Oh, my Lord, it'd be better to be embarrassed here than up there. Amen? Come today and begin this. Some of you here in order to join Olive. You ready to come be a part of Olive? Then come. I had one sweet lady told me, said, I'm ready, Pastor. I'm going to join. I'm ready to do it. I don't know if she's coming here or going there or which service she's in, but some of you need to come. Take me by the hand. Say, I'm ready to get on the highway. To get on the highway. See those flowers right there? There's a girl in this church. I just got here 28 years ago, and death had come. Her mama put those flowers here today, memory. Friend, you don't know when that day's coming for you. You better get on the highway, and you better get on it now. You don't know. None of us know. Today's the day, now's the time. Jesus says, if any of you want to come with me, deny himself, take up your cross, and follow me. Put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. That's what that old song said in 1970. Good news, good news. Come, put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Jesus extends his hand today, says, come and follow me.